VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 547, recorded on September 16th, 2019.
Welcome to the 547th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and 380th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am TJ Denzer.
I'm Scott Dirk.
And I am Jonah Fowl.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry.
So, yeah, I mean, we know what the big news is today. The really big news, you know. Ash Ketchum finally won after 22 years.
Just 22 years of being a 12-year-old.
Yeah, shouldn't he be 34 right now?
Mm-hmm.
I really don't care. Some people are treating it like Charlie Brown finally kicking the football or something, but finally, I couldn't care less about that Brad anymore.
It meant a lot to a lot of people, though.
I guess. Top 16, top 8, top 8, top 4, top 8, top 2.
Mm-hmm. And then he finally pulled it off.
Well, he is 34 now. I mean... You'd think he'd know how to pull it off.
Somebody theorized at me that the 22 years is like our time, but like in their world, like only so much time had passed, so like only a span of a few years.
Well, I mean, MASH was a 11-year show about a 2-year war.
Sure.
So.
Same idea, sort of. Less Vietnam.
I don't care. He's still a brat. What have you been playing, TJ?
I was looking through my Steam library and I eyed Endless Legend.
You haven't played Greedfall?
No, I haven't.
Actually, Endless Space, I don't know, we probably missed it. A lot of people probably missed it. You're finding out about it now, a little bit too late. But they're actually giving it away for 24 hours.
Huh, that's neat.
On Humble Bundle, yeah. Completely free. And all the expansions. But of course, that's because there's Endless Space 2, and the new expansion for that just came out. I haven't played Endless Space. I plan to once I get an actual computer again. I did play... Here's the thing. I really like Stellaris a lot, but I'm not going to play it until it's on PC and one that can handle it.
Mm-hmm. It actually doesn't take much to handle Stellaris, if I remember correctly, because I used to run it on my old laptop, and that laptop was like maybe 6 or 7 years old by the time I started playing the Stellaris.
True, but I want something that's a little more reliable. You know, actually, I've been watching videos about City Skylines, and now I'm starting to get into that again. I want to start getting into that again.
Now, that is a game that you'll need a little something for once Easter.
Well, I have it on the Xbox One, so... I mean, I don't like playing strategy games like that. That's why I'm not playing Stellaris on the Xbox, because it just doesn't feel... You know, I don't... The controls on a console for a 4X game just doesn't feel right, and... City Skylines felt a little better, maybe it's because I'm more familiar with the kind of game it is.
Mm-hmm.
But Stellaris I want on a PC.
Stellaris is pretty fun. And when you are on PC, yes, I would say that the UI is probably 10 times better than it is on like playing with a handheld controller. I really had fun with that game, and I hope that you find your way to getting in there, because it really is a good time.
I tell you, it's a lot more, there's a lot more, it has a better narrative than something like Civ 6 or Mask of Orion and all that stuff, because it actually, the game makes you feel like time is evolving and things are going on a lot more, you know, like when you make history, you actually feel it. I mean, in Civ 6, you know, yeah, I built a Statue of Liberty. Okay.
I think one of my favorite things about Stellaris is that, like, Civ plays with this a little bit, but not, I think, to the degree that Stellaris does, is global events. There are certain things where it's like, when, you know, when Civ does global events, generally it's like a countdown to, like, pursue the most culture in so much time, or pursue a golden age, and that's neat and all. But when Stellaris does global events, it's usually something like a wormhole is opened up somewhere in the depths of space, and a terribly hostile force is coming out of it and looking to destroy the rest of the galaxy.
That's basically the plot of Master of Orion with the Antarans. You know, Sid Meier's Alpha Centauri attempted to be cerebral and have a sort of a book, because it always is interrupted by prose, you know, but Stellaris, it feels like your race is being born, you know, as a spacefaring race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you meet another alien, you know, it takes some time before they say, hey, guess what? You can actually speak to them now.
Yeah. And that is one of the things that I've always liked about the Endless games, too, is that there's a bit more narrative to it. Like, there is, like, each race has its own, like, personal goals. Like the Drakkans seek to, like, basically discover history and protect the culture of the land, whereas, like, the cultists just want to turn everybody else into cultists.
Galactic Civilizations attempted it. It went a little bit too far in the RPG mode, which made me feel like I wasn't playing enough 4X game.
Yeah. But like, I really enjoy Endless Legend. The only issue that I think I have with it is that it does that thing that I really, really... I like to play my games with a lot of other AI players. And when you get to the part where everybody is sort of on the map and a lot of things are discovered, it really slows the game down, and I hate that.
How about you, Scott? What have you been playing?
I've been playing World of Warcraft Classic. I've gotten addicted.
I haven't gotten back into it. I will at some point. But here's the problem, is that I can't wait too long, because according to them, they're going to start going through the expansions, like you're going to get Burning Crusade at some point. You know,
that seems like an odd thing to do, since people have kind of complained about the evolution of the game.
I think it's going to stop.
Direction.
I think it's going to stop at Cataclysm, which is where the game really changed. Because what people really want is, and you probably enjoy this too. You know, you get all these skills, and you get to put ticks in each skill. I want to put 5 skill in Power Word Shield. I'll put, you know, these things. I despised the all in one platter here, all in one platter here. I didn't want the streamlining. I wanted the friggin' micromanagement. Damn it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even. I never did PvP that much. I was always a PvE, but I still wanted to micromanage.
Right. I didn't care about PvP either. I would put some in each branch, you know, depending on what abilities I wanted to do, and just try out.
My
main is a paladin. He's like 17th level now.
Screw you.
And I'm like, whatever,
you,
dude.
The paladins. You just, you know, it's like, I'm a real man. I'm a priest. I don't get that big sword, you know.
Priests are so annoying. They're like fragile little glasses. They have to constantly beg for people to go on adventures with them because they can't do anything on their own.
Well,
it's pathetic.
That's not entirely true, because with a good shadow word is it? I forgot. A power word shield, shadow something pain and heal. I'm a heal spec guy. You know, my job is to help others.
Right.
I enjoyed being.
You can help others as a paladin. There's nothing stopping someone from doing that.
Yeah, but the thing is, a paladin makes a priest. What's it called? Almost, you know, who needs a priest when you can have a paladin who can rez and do healing himself.
Are you saying that you hate paladins because they make your priest feel inadequate?
No, they make me more relevant.
Ah. Well, that seemed to be splitting hairs on exactly what I said.
Which is why I take it out in the horde. You know, I take my human priest, I put on the Power World Shield, start killing their vendors, and then run out to sea like a coward. And if they attack me, my Power World Shield is strong enough that it'll just absorb it, and I can just wade out to sea until my PvP flag turns off. Then I'll go around them blowing raspberries.
Yeah, so like,
you enjoy your vendor? Well, guess what? He's dead, and it's all because of me.
I'm adventuring in the Shadow Elf areas, trying to get enough reputation get the saber cat mount, because I like to. I mean, if I'm gonna do a mount, I might as well do a cat.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the good things, is that you had to grind to get, you know, special mounts.
Yeah, a lot of grind. But you know, it's, I don't know. It's something fun and addictive about it.
Well, duh. There, at its peak, there was 14 million subscribers playing World of Warcraft. Like I said, I'm trying hard not to, you know, I don't want to jump in too early, but I don't want to jump in too late. You know.
I think there's, to a degree, I don't think there's anything wrong with doing a little bit of progression back towards expansions, but like, I don't know. I mean, everybody, for lack of better terms, like everybody loved Lich Bane, or Wrath of the Lich King, right?
Yeah, I mean,
that was the peak.
That added the Worgen and the Goblins as races. But the thing is, when Cataclysm basically turned into World of Warcraft Part 2, you know, and the main problem that people had wasn't Wrath of the Lich King, it wasn't even Cataclysm. It was just that they super simplified everything, and they made it so that, you know what? You just skip to level 60. Now, if you can skip to level 120, you know, because it's sort of like, get to the good stuff. And a lot of us just like to do those early things. You know, the 1 through 60 was always the best part of it for me. I enjoyed the lore. You know, I'm one of those people, I'm that guy. I'm that guy who enjoyed reading the quest descriptions and figuring out who likes what and, you know, and exploring and all that stuff and figuring out the actual world. I wasn't running off to PvP immediately, you know?
I mean, I liked reading lore, too. There's a lot of lore there to be read and to enjoy the environment and why you're doing what you're doing. Like the whole human Stormwind area is this, trying to take out the Defias Mafia that's basically trying to take out the royalty of, Stormwind and, you know, really mess up the alliance. And so you have this really nice arc where you're going from one zone to the next to get to the Defias, dungeon to defeat their boss. I thought that's very satisfying.
I just can't wait to defeat Hogger again.
Oh, God.
Come on. What can you say about Hogger and Princess?
I can solo them with my paladin.
So I can do it with my priest, too. It's just that, you know, those first bosses, you know, I just love... Princess stole... Well, she stole the necklace, right? Princess stole the necklace! Gotta kill that big fat pig.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's funny, you know, one of the things I remember from playing early World of Warcraft way back in the day was I remember just people throwing out little challenge flags, you know, where you had duels. So that if you ever had people wanted to duel, they'd throw out these flags. And I remember in Goldshire, you know, you'd have all these hundreds of flags just flying out because these kids were bored and they just wanted to duel. You know, I found it amusing.
I used to play Rogue all the time, and the biggest thing I remember about playing that game for the time that I did was that I could ruin all y'all's day with a kick.
Oh no, you know who was the worst? And the person, the class that was best suited to being a solo was the Warlock, because they had Mez, and they had Mass Mez, and they had Mass Stun. So they didn't even need to fight. They would just sit there and just go, yeah. Go play amongst each other. I'll just wait here while you kill each other.
That's all fine and good until I kick them and then they can't cast a spell.
Yeah, rogues are the worst when they actually got into the back lines, you know. Uh-huh. If it was, the few times I did PvP, you know, I'd be healing and I'm healing, and then the rogue would just slip in there and say, oh, by the way, you're dead now.
Kick, backstab, backstab, kick, 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 backstab.
I mean, not even my Power World Shield could defend some of the attacks. I think they went right through it. My memory's kind of fuzzy, but I just remember my Power World Shield didn't last long, or they just bypassed it.
Yeah. Well, like, the problem with Kick is that it stops a spell from being cast.
No,
so
Power World Shield is always on, though. I mean, until someone takes it off.
Right. But, like, you're in the middle of casting that big old spell, and suddenly Kick... That's you get that thing ready again.
And they're healing the tank.
But I feel like the proper way to go with this is just like listen to your community, take it all the way up to Lich King, and then ask them if they want to start over again, or if they just want to sit, if they just want to sit at Lich King.
No, they'll probably just sit at, you know, the things going up to Cataclysm and keep it there, because everybody wants to keep the big salt place dry, you know, until it got Thousand Needles got flooded, you know, and so I liked Thousand Needles when it was dry, damn it. All these giant, massive spires in the ground, it was fun.
Yeah, but nobody likes the systems that are in Cataclysm.
Yeah. I mean, I did enjoy being a goblin. That was fun. But I was never really a Horde person. I was always an Alliance person. I tried Worgen. No. I mean, my best character was the Draenei Priest, because the Draenei already had the healing abilities, you know, innate, and it just boosted their abilities as a priest. So basically they became a super priest.
Yeah, I like the Draenei. That was a very creative base and starting area.
And they were freaking like aliens. They were aliens. Yeah. They crashed in a spaceship.
That was really different and interesting.
Well, the game always had that technological background. I mean, like the gnomes always had these steamships and all that. They were very steampunk. Yeah. So. One of these days, you know what I'm going to try and do? I'm going to try and have my a low-level character run from Goldshire all the way to the dwarf capital. Iron thing.
Yeah, I've done that with my human. I ran from Goldshire all the way to the elven place, Darnassus. I forgot what the place is called now. But, you know, you get to run through the wetlands, get there, and some dangerous territory.
Aren't the Tauren the closest by of any of the Horde races? I think you run through that field that's next to Altaria.
You don't have to go by there at all.
The no, Taurens? I know, but
I don't think so.
Aren't the Taurens the closest to the Alliance?
Oh, no, it's the Undercity, the Underdead.
Oh,
the Undead.
Well, the one thing, I did enjoy playing in Undead, because, what's it called, when I did play Horde, because the thing is that they're dealing with the evil Undead. They're the good Undead. The evil Undead are the ones who just want to, the Burning Legion, I believe it is.
Yeah. My wife will swear by the fact that the Undead City is one of the most coolest places in all of the original Warcraft, and Sylvanas is one of the best leaders.
Especially when you accidentally jump into the lava. There's no OSHA there. Oh, no, I fell. Oh, I'm into the lava river, dead.
I personally favor Ironforge. I just love this giant
I like Ironforge.
Ring and lava flows everywhere. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and that's what I was talking about. I meant Ironforge. Yeah, running from Goldshire to Ironforge. Of course, mm-hmm. As a priest, I usually have I just pop up that Power World Shield in case I aggro something that's like 20 levels higher than me.
Right. Yeah, you need that.
And it's a rite of passage to be killed by the dragon, and you actually get an achievement for that.
Hmm.
Anyways, I've been playing a game that's free that's on the Game Pass, and I saw it and I said, you know, I'm going to try it. So I've really been enjoying it. I'm surprised at how much it keeps on drawing me back, and that is My Time at Portia, which is basically Harvest Moon meets Minecraft meets Zelda. So you have the combat of Zelda, you have the townsfolk of Harvest Moon, and you have a lot of there's a lot of Minecraft in it, because you go into these caves and then you start hacking away with your pick to get some of the juicy things, and you can tell what it is by coloration. Like if it's a brownish red, yep, that's where the copper is and the tin. And then in the next thing, I'm mining iron and manganese and all that stuff. I haven't gotten my workshops up yet. Right now, I'm up to the part in which you're making bus stops, which is after you make your first bus, which means you have to upgrade your workbench to level 2. And you know, I'm really having fun. And the thing is that one of the things I can really appreciate, this is a very, very small development company. And this game was also kickstarted a long time ago. And one of the things I love is that he managed to create a breathing world. Like on occasion, you'll catch these brothers, these stocky brothers. They'll be having a barbecue in the field, and they'll be chatting along. You know, just everything's going on. Everybody goes back to work. The thing that's a real grind are the relationship grinds. That's going to take a while. So.
Nice. Yeah, and this is the one where you can find artifacts, and then you decide whether to hand them over to the museum or the government.
Discs. No, you either hand them to the church, who are Luddites, or you can hand them to the research center. Either way,
right.
Well, here's the thing. You're always going to be trading them to either one because they have stores which accept the data disks for items. So, you know, mm-hmm. you don't really have... At least I don't think so. You don't really have to make a hard stand on it. They're just going to be like... but here's... You know, every Sunday, you'll see people streaming up to their temple to watch their ceremony. Or, you know, sometimes the mayor will make an announcement. You see people gathering outside the government. It's really great. Just the way they create a world, a living, breathing world. And which is why I keep coming back to it, you know. The only thing I don't like is you can't save anywhere. You can only save at the end of the day or whenever you want to go to bed.
Mm.
You know?
That's like the farming game,
Harvest Moon.
God damn it. Not Harvest Moon, guess that one too.
Stardew Valley.
Yeah, Stardew Valley.
Much like Stardew Valley, except with this game, it's less about farming and it's more about crafting.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I guess you don't have to farm, but yeah, you end up farming. I mean, it's like you're supposed to build
You can farm.
I don't know.
You need to farm in order to, you know, to create your own food. I mean, you can buy food.
Yeah, I've heard that they made it a little bit more relaxed. They lessened the time limit or whatever, I think, on Stardew Valley. Because I remember when I first started it, they were like, oh, you're quitting the rat race to go build a farm. Now, your grandpa's going to be back in a year, so you better have your farm built. And that
so
just started
a new
giving
rat
pressure.
Race.
Yeah, exactly. It's a rat race. Like, each day, I got to make progress.
Yeah, my time at Porsche is very relaxed.
I can't
relaxed.
Just chill and do whatever. Mm-hmm.
My time at Porsche is really relaxed. And like I said, I keep on saying, you know, I'm going to uninstall this in a bit, but let me just do this, you know. So it's sort of like I'm allocating time in my day devoted to my time at Porsche, and it's like I have to figure out when is a good time to go to sleep so I can save and quit. So, I've also started playing Super Mega Baseball again, the sequel, and I heard that someone was creating teams, and I said, I'm going to do that. So I've been meticulously recreating MLB teams for Super Mega Baseball 2. I've so far finished 4 teams, the Yankees, Red Sox, Orioles, and Blue Jays, and it's really hard to create some of the logos because, I had to work. I decided not even bother with the Orioles bird because some of the uniforms don't feature it. So I say, screw it. Okay, I'll use the O'S. You know, the Blue Jays. I don't have that out, and I managed to turn a hummingbird into a Blue Jay, passably enough that it looks like a Blue Jay. And you know, the uniforms are really coming out well, considering the tools they give you aren't the best, and you can't. Manually make the graph. If I could, I would have just, you know, drew it myself. But you can't draw. You can only use logos and stuff like that. So it's interesting. I just got a code for Bus Simulator for the Xbox One.
Oh my god.
Hey, you know what? The thing I did not like about the PC version was the buses were hard as hell to maneuver. I'm hoping with the console version and game using gamepad, it's going to be easier to do.
Is this the kind of simulator where you're actually sitting there,
the routes, you're picking up passengers, yeah. The best part of it is that it has 16-player multiplayer, and everybody has their own bus. And it's the sort of thing in which it's a social thing. You're driving your bus and you're chatting with your friends on Discord or whatever and just talking about your day.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people who just play Truck Simulator and just listen to a podcast while they're doing the mundane thing of transporting one thing to the other, so. And Farming Simulator is really, really, really big in Europe.
I was just thinking about, it makes me think of that Penn & Teller game where you basically just drive a two-door
bus. Yeah, and you can't, it's a literal 20, you have to play it for 24 hours, and you can't just leave the computer on because it'll list to the left. So you have to make sure that you're there to make sure it doesn't list to the left and crash. So you actually have to drive the entire 24 hours. It's a gag game.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about Gears 5. It's really, really, really good. I haven't played the single player yet. I've been playing basically Left 4 Dead on it, which is the escape mode. Huh. And I've chosen to be Emile from Halo Reach. And you can be Emile, you can be Kat, you can be Sarah Connor from Terminator Dark Fate, and Linda Hamilton recorded like 400 lines for it.
You can be Dave Bautista, and I know because he was so wholesomely excited about it, because that guy's been trying to be Marcus Fenix in the movie forever.
But, you know, so it's really, really good, and it's gotten amazing reviews. So congrats to the Coalition for taking over from Epic, and just, you know, because say what you want about 343 Industries, they really haven't captured Halo yet. But the Coalition was able to capture Gears, and they learned everything wrong about Gears 4.
And that's an impressive thing that they did, is that, like, most people have a misstep, and, like, they don't figure it out that well by the next game. Coalition, like, from what I understand, the only bad thing I've heard about Gears 5 is that some people have claimed that the story is a little boring. Like, the open world
there's moments in which you go from thing to thing to thing. But, you know, the entire point is that, you know, there's only a few missions along the way that you can do, you don't have to do. The skiff things is where you go. See, if it's not really an open world, it's basically going from mission hub to mission hub.
Right. And
that's how
people
should look at it. It's not an open world. It's a mission hub thing.
Right, but like, that's the worst thing I've heard about the game. Everything else I've heard about it is glowing. The multiplayer is really good. The combat is really good. Everything is tightly locked down, and like the characters are enjoyable.
People are raving about the PC version because they can get it at 120 frames per second if they go with 1080p.
Ah, yeah, and it's a gorgeous game.
And the Xbox One X version, which I have, is 4K 60 frames, silky smooth. And like I said, you know, they went really hard on it. And, you know, I think the same thing is going to be said of Halo Infinite, because they've been working really hard on it, too. You know, they heard the complaints about Halo 5. I mean, they nailed the multiplayer, except for, of course, Firefight. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, the multiplayer was great, and the story was good. I liked the story, because here's the thing. I'm invested in the Halo lore, so I knew everything that was going on. But that's the problem, is that not a lot of people are going to know what everything's going on. So, but yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting because what little I've seen of Halo Infinite, they're going to be stressing not an open world, but, you know, big levels like Halo Reach did and Halo 1 did, you know. And that was the big thing about Halo, by the way. That was the thing, one of the things that set it apart, where the levels were gigantic. And just traversing them was the entire point, you know. Anybody who played Halo remembers even just the first level. You're just traversing this entire thing. And also the ending, of course. Which is basically driving your car through a ring that's exploding. So yeah, I've been playing that. And, you know, I keep getting things on, because I have an Epic Games account. I mean, if I wanted to, I could play Borderlands 3. I can't, because there's no way my laptop's going to handle it. One of the news that we're not going to be talking about is that Randy Pitchford is bragging about how this is the biggest selling Borderlands ever. And I've never really been a fan of Borderlands. So, you know, for anybody who plays Borderlands 3, let me know how it is.
I'm hearing good things. I'm hearing a lot of good things. It's Borderlands 3. It's wacky, it's tabacky, it's co-op multiplayer.
I mean, they're saying it has the best villains ever now, even surpassing Handsome Jack. Okay. I've seen them. It's like they split Handsome Jack into a male and a female.
They made them YouTube influencers.
Yeah, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, here's the thing. I'm not really a fan. I'm not a fan of shooter looters. You know, I don't really like, I didn't like Destiny. I don't like Anthem. I don't like Fallout 76. And I don't like Borderlands. You know, there's something, if I'm going to play a looter, I'm going to play something like Diablo, you know? But
there are some things to be said for, like, the good decisions they made about the about Borderlands 3. And I mean things like adding an instant system where everybody has their own loot, so you can sort of diminish the existence of loot trolls, which is people just taking all the good stuff as soon as it lands. And that's an ace in the whole idea. Like, why, like, one wonders why that wasn't a thing all along, but, like, who knows? The characters look fun, and they look interesting with their abilities. Like, I like what they do. It's a good break from, like, the character classes that we've had before. And yeah, it just, like, they've taken the criticisms that they've had from the past and made a better Borderlands with it, and then tried to capture that spark that, like, Handsome Jack had as far as, like, a really villainous character.
Looking at the villains, it's basically handsome, a younger Handsome Jack, and Handsome Jack is a girl. And blonde.
Yeah, I mean, like, to a degree. I mean, that's, no, I wouldn't say that's far off, because I've, like, seen them in action, and I've seen the way they play, but, like, there's a lot to the game. There's a lot to the game beyond just them, and one could say of Borderlands 2 that if you didn't have Handsome Jack, it would have been as boring as Borderlands 1. But, like, Borderlands 3, at the very least, looks like it has more to it than just a couple villains.
Yeah, I just think that the Outer World is going to eat Borderlands' lunch.
I think they're entirely different games. I don't know if they will be comparable.
They don't have to be.
Please go on.
I mean, they both involve time sinks, you know, and people may spend time in the Outer Worlds more than, you know, Borderlands.
But, like, Borderlands, or, I mean, like, Outer Worlds is a completely single-player experience, right?
That's not true, no. It actually has co-op, if I remember correctly.
Does it?
Yeah. That was one of the big things about it.
I have to look that up, because that is something I don't want.
No, I mean, it's sort of like, it doesn't revolve around it, though.
No, it says single player here. Maybe that's something that they're going to add on. Oh, no, I'm looking at Outer Wilds. Idiot. Silly.
Yeah, that's a vastly different game, which I have played. It's going to be, it's not getting a multiplayer mode anymore. That was really announced in June.
Outer Worlds is saying single player as well. Maybe it's something that's sort of like a tacked on thing. Maybe, not like tacked on, but like, not thought out.
They decided they were going to focus on single player. There was multiplayer. I mean, they did demo, what's it called, the possibilities for multiplayer, if you remember at E3. But it looks like it's not going to happen anymore. I think it's just because they wanted to come out. It's taking too long.
You can always add some DLC later. Focus on that.
It's part of the Game Pass. I'll be able to play it for free. Well, not for free, but it'll be part of Game Pass.
I just want to play a good Obsidian Entertainment story.
Well, you know, I mean, knowing with Scott's silence, he's probably more excited about the three handheld Dragon Quest games that are coming out.
Those would be cool. I think are they coming west yet? I thought they were just in Japan, being released only in Japan right now.
They're coming stateside, but I'm hearing reports that they might be ports of the mobile games, which would be bad.
Yeah, the first three games are coming out on Switch.
Right, but like what I'm hearing is that they are ports of the mobile games, or of the same quality in any case, which would be a bummer. I mean, there's still going to be Dragon Quest, so like if you're just there to take a walk down Nostalgia Lane, then they'll probably be serviceable. But like, you never want something to be compared to mobile port quality. Like Final Fantasy VI, oh my god, that is a trash disaster. When Squaresoft brought that over to PC and it was just a port of the mobile game, it wasn't a good time. And so I hope I'm wrong. I hope they're wrong. But yeah, I've seen some screenshots, and yeah, it does kind of look like the quality that you see when you look at like a mobile game.
I don't know. Aren't they NES ports?
Not quite. Like,
Famicom ports, yeah.
I would have to post a screenshot to show you exactly what I'm talking about, because it's noticeable when you look at it.
No, they are based on the mobile ports. Originally released in 2004. And then released on Android and iOS, which is the basis for the Switch version. Like, the enemies don't have facial animations, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and more than that, they just, like, they look...
They're not the Game Boy Color versions.
They look like they're missing a crucial aspect of just, like, life and personality to the game. It looks like copy and paste.
Didn't they do remakes of the Dragon? I think all of the Dragon Quests, at least the early ones, 1 through 4, 5. So there's different versions of them.
There are different versions of them. All I'm saying is that these ones, like, they look about the same quality as when they ported the mobile version of Final Fantasy VI to Steam.
Know that they had the remake. They released the remakes on the DS and the 3DS. And they also re-released it on, Dragon Quest VII had a remaster.
Right.
Anyways, we're talking too much about this. There was some other games that, you know, I want to talk about. We're not going to. We're just going to move on to game news. NBA 2K20 devs working around the clock on a patch to address gameplay issues. Now, we were going to record this last Thursday, but guess what? It got delayed. So we're recording it on the usual Monday, so guess what? The patch is out. However, the 1.3 patch on the PS4 is 24 gigabytes, the one on Xbox One is 38 gigabytes, and Operation Sports is kind of salty about it. Yes, they fixed some initial issues that people were having, but the patch notes were vague. They said, we fixed this, 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 and some more! Okay, what's and some more? Usually when you have patch notes, you list every single little minute thing that they fixed. And the patch notes, you know, and this patch didn't fix everything. I mean, didn't fix the frame rate stutter. A lot of people have been just... Have you seen the NBA 2K20 response in the past week or so?
No, I haven't.
God, it has been...
Livid?
Livid. The review bombing has been nothing else. And it's not like review bombing, you know, out of malice. You know, like sometimes a game, it has a female protagonist, let's review bomb it. No, this is actually legit stuff about the game. And it's not even the gambling mechanic in it, you know, in which they frame the loot box in the form of actual gambling with a slot machine, which... The optics of that were not great, especially with what's going in the UK. So, but yeah, I mean, people are just losing their shit over it.
Well, that's a shame, and it's a definite shame because this is NBA 2K now has like a major esports league, and so that's no good for like their competition angle either.
You know, I got that because here's the thing. I was watching some people talking about 2K20 that wasn't about, you know, the problems, but basically talking about shooting and all that stuff, and they were breaking down the badges that you get in it or the badges you can assign in it, much like someone who plays Street Fighter 2 would break down, you know, when to use this counter for that and stuff like that. So, yeah, I can see where the esports is coming in. But the problem is that I have not purchased NBA 2K in a very long while. Because here's the thing. Normally, microtransactions don't bother me that much. You know, because I don't pay for them. I don't need to. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah. Okay.
But the VC, the virtual currency in NBA 2K, has distorted the game so badly that I have not purchased NBA 2K. I've rented it just to see what it was like, to make sure, just to confirm that, yeah, this is shit, you know. It's just, yeah. I forgot to mention, and this is the state of sports gaming today. Madden NFL 20 is garbage.
Mm-hmm.
They had a free weekend on it last weekend, And I played enough to say, yep, that's shit. And I played the demo for NBA 2K20, which was laughably called a demo, because check this out. There are five, they have you create five characters. You play each one. If you quit in the middle of that, of one of them, you can't use them anymore.
That sucks.
So you can only play it five times. And, you know, they're basically, well, you'll import them when you get the game. That's not a demo! A demo allows me to try a game ad infinitum. You know, I know about those demos. I would have preferred a 1 hour demo to this. So, yeah. So, I made a purchase today. I bought NCAA Football 14 used for $70.
Used $70? Wow.
This is a game from 2013. $70. And NCAA 13 was like $12.
Must really like that game.
It is, if you go to YouTube and you search for NCAA Football 14, people have re-embraced it like nothing else. And it's basically a sad situation. Because a game that was made in 2013 is a better game in all aspects, except for graphics, of course, than current games. The physics are much better. The AI is much better. The franchise mode is deep without beyond belief. And this is for a game for the PlayStation 3 / Xbox 360. Sports games have gotten so bad.
Yeah.
That people are finally starting to say no. And one of the most irritating things is that reviews will often be in the 80s, sometimes 90s. Because reviewers don't care or don't spend much time with it. And you'll always see the Metacritic, difference between reviewers and user scores. Let me give you an example. The PC version of Madden NFL 20 on Metacritic is 80. The user score is 1.0.
Yeah, because it has a lot to do with like the introduction of creating your team, but also a microtransaction marketplace tied to creating your team.
You know, isn't even the microtransactions. It's just that the physics are bad. The things, but here's the thing: if you play a few exhibition games, you play a franchise for a year. Okay. It's just that on repeated playing, it's really bad. And the other thing that a lot of reviewers don't seem to care about is if they release the same game with very few tweaks upward.
Right. But, it has gotten to the point, though. Like, you have to admit, it's gotten to the point where, like 2K games, FIFA, NFL, they're all super predatory with, the way that they handle
microtransactions. Yeah, they have the Madden team. I don't give a shit. Well, here's the thing.
But, that's
Madden,
the thing is that...
Madden teams, what's it called? Yeah, they have these separate modes which have been started becoming the whale, the tail wagging the dog.
Right. And you have to pay your way upward if you're going to have a chance. It's stupid. It's really stupid. The way that they've handled that. But gosh dang it, it works. They make money off of it, so they're going to keep doing it.
I don't have a PlayStation 4. And the only game I would ever play on the PlayStation 4, which I would want a PlayStation 4, would be for MLB The Show 19 because of its career mode. The career modes in Madden NFL is a goddamn joke.
Yeah.
You can only play one position. And it's a movie. And, oh, by the way, the same thing with the NBA 2K. And here's the thing about that. I don't want to play a movie. Because you know what? You have, it's almost like they get to all these famous actors and all that stuff. And there's so many of them, it's basically, they're going to come out and say, hi, it's me, and then leave, and you never see them again. You'd think, I would prefer they spend the money on actual development. I don't give two squirts if, say, Cicely Tyson is in the game. She's not. I'm just saying, but just to give you an example. I don't care if LeBron is in the game. Why do I care? And that's the other thing. They think that people want to be at the top so quickly, so I could be a 67-rated player in either Madden or NBA. And after a few games or almost immediately, I'll be a starter. And it's like, what? Wait, no! How am I a starter? I'm a bad player. Why are you putting me in as a starter? Why would anybody? And it's not even like the starter got injured. No. You know? That's what MLB The Show does with their play. You have to do the grind. You actually have to get good enough for them to even consider bringing you up to the major leagues. That's what I want. I want to have to deal, you know, I want the you know how it is. You know, you don't feel any sort of victory when people just hand you the reward when you did nothing.
Right. Right. Like in Madden, you should play the preseason games, and then when the team is up 38-0, then you'll be put in for the last few rounds and fourth down.
And you know what? Hey, look, you know, I want to play a kicker. What if I want to play a kicker, you know? Or even better, I want to play a punter. People don't understand how, you know, if field position is the main part of the game, playing a punter in which your entire thing is that you're coming in and you better do a coffin corner kick or else your team is going to lose. And while no one will blame you unless you shank it, you know, if you coffin cut and you force them to start on the one and you get a safety out of it, you will feel like Superman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be able to play an offensive lineman. You're in every game. You're in every offensive play, you know. But if your quarterback gets sacked and it's your fault because you got pancaked, well, you know, that I just don't want to. And I hear that you can also, if you can actually have a one player thing in which you can control the quarterback or wide receiver or running back. That's not the entire game. Well, now it is in the real NFL, I guess. And not even that. I don't know. All I'm saying is that when games made 6 years ago are better than games made now, there's something deeply wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm not even going to deal with Madden using the Frostbite engine, by the way. I despise the fact that EA said, we're going to use the Frostbite engine for everything. You know, it may work with Battlefield, but it's not going to work. It's not going to work with an RPG, which they found out really quickly with Anthem. And it's certainly not going to work with a sports game.
Right.
You know? It's like, well, you know, this wood is really strong, so I'm going to use everything with this wood. Or how about this? Steel, you know, you can build skyscrapers with steel. So I'm going to make a hammock out of steel. Because it's steel. Is it going to work, a steel hammock? No.
Mm-hmm.
But we already have the steel, we might as well use the steel. It's just stupid. So yeah, we're really salty about sports gaming.
Please enjoy NCAA, because like that is the halcyon years of good sports gaming.
I you know what I'm gonna do, and there's someone who's on YouTube who's done this, is that he filled his entire team with walk-ons. Everybody was rating from 55 to 65. All walk-ons to start his college, his previous, he built the college from scratch, right? It's a create your own college. Built them all with walk-ons. And he's gonna start that's what I'm gonna do. I wanna start something from the absolute worst kind of college team. You're the kind of college team that LSU pays to play so they could beat you 80-0.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I want to build my team from there. That's basically role playing, you know? I'm starting for level 1. Actually, I'm starting, as Kung Fu Panda would say, I'm starting at level 0. There is a level 0 now.
Yeah, typically those are NPCs.
And, you know, here's the thing. EA, this game is selling for $70 used. Remember, games are $60 right now, and this game is selling $70 used. That might be a hint that maybe people would like to see a remaster of it. And they will pay $60 for it, because they want it.
Right.
The problem is with there's a special problem with NCAA, though, because you had the Ed O'Bannon case, and EA has this thing which they think you don't want to play people don't want to play with completely fictional players, which is horseshit. Which is complete horseshit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what you could do is you could release it on PC and just let people have an editor. The game does have an editor. The game has an editor. I'm just saying to share files, you know. So yeah, it doesn't have real players. Well, people create their own.
Yeah, I mean, like that was I remember the NFL 2K games on Dreamcast, and that's what made those games fun.
One of the things, you know, what really shocks me is that NBA, when I played NBA 2K2 on the Dreamcast, every single draft player had last name, full name actually, if I remember correctly, the game would actually say their names, and these are random names, full, during the game. They wouldn't say number 8, the center. No, they would say Jack Smith, number 3. And they don't do that anymore, despite the fact we have a lot more storage. It just, a lot of stuff is going towards these movies, and I don't want movies. I want actual gameplay. There's something called emergent gameplay, which happens. Which is how I play Out of the Park Baseball. You know, emergent stories happen. It's a complete text game, though. Sometimes I want to take control. Oh, God, we're talking too much about sports games and how shitty they are right now and how a $70 game is $70 used, you know. We're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, Scott. Let's talk about the most unlikely thing to happen to Civ 6.
Yeah. Civ 6 adds Red Death Battle Royal Mode. This Royale is from Strategy Informer.
Battle Royale.
Civilization 6 is the latest title to get bitten by the Battle Royale bug. The recently added Red Death Mode pits 12 players against each other on a small map that's being consumed by a nasty red mist. Civ 6 Red Death dons a post-apocalyptic look and comes with its own factions and units. You can try your hand at escaping certain doom as mutants, pirates, goths, ethnically challenged scientists, and more. Just like their counterparts from the base game, each faction has its own traits to set it apart. As befitting any Battle Royale mode, Civ 6 Red Death also has supply crates in which you find loot. The twist is these can hold nukes, which can you can lob at your opponents. Do it too many times, however, and you'll bring about the end of the world. The game mode began as a tongue-in-cheek April Fool's joke from the multiplayer engineer lead Bradley Olson. He scripted the base gameplay and added it to the game for April Fool's One build, hoping the team would find it amusing. Unfortunately, nobody noticed. During our regular morning design stand-up, Bradley dejectedly proclaimed, "Nobody noticed that there's a Battle Royale mode in multiplayer." The design team was confused, as first they thought it was just a joke. But then they found out Bradley was serious. They immediately set up a play session for that afternoon, 2K revealed in a press release. Red Death is more straightforward initially, only starting players with a warrior and settler units. It wasn't long, however, until more people jumped on to the project, including the art team, which created assets specifically for it. The mode is available for free-for-all owners all owners of Civ 6.
You know,
so that's a pretty interesting idea to add there, and I'm sure people.
Well, here's the thing: it wasn't specifically added as a, like the marketing team said, Battle Royale is fun, let's put that in. No, it was an April Fool's joke that a developer put in there, and they never noticed it. And, you know, that's sort of charming, in which this mode didn't come out because Battle Royale is what's popular. It's just, we're gonna have some fun. We're just gonna screw around.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's basically a mod that was just designed by the game designers, so, like, that's cool.
And the funny thing is it was released without anybody knowing that it was in it. It was there the entire time, and no one noticed.
Yeah, that is a little sad to have your prank unnoticed.
That's hilarious. Well, yeah, it's sad when your prank doesn't go unnoticed. But you know what? Hey, people are enjoying it a lot.
And that's cool. I'm going to have to watch a video of this because I have no idea what Battle Royale in a strategy game looks like. But
it's basically you have these different factions and you're starting in different locations, and you have to work towards the center, get tech so that way you can build a ship to get out of there or just nuke everyone if that's what you really want to do.
All the while there's this red mist surrounding the map that's starting to close in.
It's shrinking and encroaching on your territory. And, it's a race against time. And you have units and you move them around on your grid map and turn base, of course. So, I mean, it's kind of like
Turncast.
their other scenario. You know, they've had other scenarios where things were turn-based and not in the typical Civ fashion where you're going through a dungeon or you're doing some other, you know, crazy exploration. They've had some interesting and creative scenarios before, and this will be a fun one, and I'm glad it's a free one for everyone, and that's just really cool to see something come out like that.
Are you going to do it on Turncast?
Yeah, yes, we will.
Okay. I can't wait to hear the reactions you guys have, especially if one of you gets swallowed up by the red mist. That's going to be hilarious. I just can't wait for the taunting.
It'll be funny because we used to play UHC in Minecraft, so it'll be a little bit, I think, bring back some memories, I think.
I hope the location where the the circular area where the red mist closes in on isn't static. I hope it's randomized to where you might have one game where somebody by sheer random luck ends up in the center of where the red mist is going to be, whereas everybody else, certain people end up on the outskirts and have to just scramble.
Well, the problem with that is that the person in the center is going to have time to just develop his city, you know?
Right, but that's how battle royales work. Where you have one person that lucked out and ends up in the right place at the right time, and they just get to sit around looting to their heart's content.
Yeah, that happened in Minecraft UHC as well. Some people would be spawned near the center and get all the time in the world to collect their resources and get geared up, and then other people are constantly being chased by.
You don't have tanks versus archers.
Right. That's the thing about Battle Royale, though. It's definitely not one of those, this is a fair and equal playground. It's literally more like, roll the RNG and hope that RNGesus is in your favor.
Yeah.
I'm going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, DJ.
Switch could be getting a bizarre VR headset from Business Insider. A newly discovered patent suggests that Nintendo is making an accessory that turns its Switch console into a VR headset. During Dutch tech news site Let's Go Digital reported this week. Nintendo applied for the patent in February 2018, and it was published in August this year. The headset closely resembles the Nintendo Labo VR headset. A cardboard accessory gamers can construct and use in conjunction with the Switch's Nintendo Labo game. Unlike Labo, seen below, the accessory in the patent is made out of plastic, and unlike other major VR headsets, the headset in the patent doesn't include a head strap. Instead, you have to hold the device up to your face to use it.
It's sort of like the mobile thing.
It sounds like they didn't learn their lesson for the Virtual Boy.
I don't think the Mask of the Red Death is gonna it's gonna be that.
Yeah, they don't even have a tripod for this one. All that said, worse. Yeah, so it's somehow worse. All that said, not all tech patents see the light of day, as companies sometimes file them to keep other companies from developing similar technology. However, Nintendo does appear to be broadening the Switch's capabilities. Last week, it released a trailer for a mysterious new wheel-like accessory that appears to be used for playing fitness-related games.
Yeah, they tried that with the Wii, though. They tried that with the Wii, the wheel-like accessory, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yes, and it was absurdly successful. Wii Fit was one of the biggest selling things on the Wii.
No, not Wii Fit. I'm talking about the wheel.
Oh.
That was Drek, from what I understand, the wheel itself.
I remember the wheel, yeah. For, racing games or whatever.
This one's looking a little bit more promising. It's looking more just like a Wii Fit style thing, where you do all sorts of exercises with it, and they add a little RPG game mode to go with it, so you can gamify your exercise. Good for them.
I did that with DDR. Do you ever use the DDR health thing, in which it helps you burn calories?
I did not. But have you seen the advertisement for this the Nintendo Switch health thing? Because the people in it look absolutely insane.
I've not seen it.
It is some of the most forced reactions I've seen in a long time in anything. It's weird. It's weird, funny, weird.
You mean the Ring Fit Adventure? That ring
thing? I mean, yeah, the Nintendo Switch ring thing.
Oh, God. Yeah, and the way they use it is just obscene. put it between their legs and they start opening and closing their legs, or they squeeze it like they're trying to get an orgasm out of it. And this one lady has a look on her face that's just scary. Looks like she's going to eat your face.
Yep, you got six people in a room, just like everybody came over to the house to exercise. That's what the party's about.
And they're so multicultural, can't you tell? It reminds me of the Wii music from Nintendo's 2009
E3. I love Nintendo Switch's commercials because they all present some sort of situation that nobody would ever use a Nintendo Switch for, like taking the Nintendo Switch over to the basketball park to play with your buddies.
Yeah, the problem is just going to imagine you just putting your friggin' Joy-Cons in these things. Because they have the ring and they have this thing that you strap to your leg. It's just weird.
It is weird. But it's weird in an interesting way that, like, could be something? I don't know.
I'm going to tell you something, you know. Using this is more embarrassing than when you're using a VR headset.
It couldn't be possibly any worse than anything that 1-2 Switch made you do.
Does anybody even talk about it? Remember how people said 1-2 Switch is really great? It's like, yeah, whatever.
Milk the cow. Jerk off motions abound.
No, well, this one is having different jerk off motions. I think it's female jerk off motions, just pushing in, push, 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 baby. Actually, you know, when they use it sometimes. Oh, you know what it reminds me of, actually? What's it called? I must increase my bust. I must increase my bust. And what is whatever. I don't know. I never had to increase my bust. The last thing I want to do is increase my bust. There's nothing that I want less than man boobs.
Nintendo is doing so many, like, they're doing so many
this
things.
This is how
that,
they
like,
react to success. You yes. know this.
I mean, they did put the SNES games on the Nintendo Switch Online, which I'm super happy about. I really, I've been playing a bunch of them, and I'm really happy with them. Breath of Fire, Demon's Crest. Like,
if you want to
yeah.
impress me, they'll put GameCube games on it.
That said, it's like, every once in a while, Nintendo gets so full of itself with coming up with new ideas that it's like, Mom, Uncle Nintendo's drunk again.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Unlike Microsoft and Sony, Nintendo doesn't think of itself as a video game company. They think of themselves as a toy company. So they start creating toys. They think in terms of toy concepts.
Which sometimes it works out.
And then they make
Labo. It's just weird.
I mean, sometimes, you know, they come up with an idea that I think might be cool. Like, remember the heart monitor thing? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to play a horror game, that would be perfect.
Labo couldn't have done that bad because they keep making more Labo kits.
Well, the sunk cost fallacy, right? What's really weird is that when you're working out, you're fighting with Goombas. I don't know, what are those things from Super Mario again? Things with the shells?
Oh, Koopa?
Yeah, and they also... Yeah, and you have to fight all these Super Mario Brother characters while you're working out.
Yeah, they made it like a sort of Dragon Quest style. They made sort of a Dragon Quest style RPG for it, which that at least looks interesting.
I guess.
Do squats to do crits.
I don't know who's going to use this, but I know that if I ever got one, I would lock the doors because I would not want people to watch. I would not want people watching me do this.
You wouldn't invite over six of your best friends for this?
Not while I'm working out with this friggin' thing, no.
In the commercial looked like they were having a good time, Jenna.
At least when you were playing something with the Wiimotes, at least it, like if you were doing bowling or you're doing archery, it actually looked like you were doing something. It didn't make it look like you were taking something that you saw, you know, from some infomercial, like the shake weights or you know, quickly, cheaply made stuff that people sell in TV, what's it called, you know, 30-minute long advertisements. I mean, I don't want to do a pectoralis major challenge. It's just, this is going to go about as well as Wii music.
We'll find out. Like I said, I at least like the idea of the RPG to go with it. Like that in of itself may be neat for some people.
remember, the drummer from the Wii Music demo was one of the only musicians that Trump could get to perform at his inauguration. That drummer.
That's sad.
That was his biggest, that was his biggest name. Yes, I got the drummer from Wii Music. The one with the weird hair. I forgot his name. Damn it. I have to remember his name now. Because it's also a bizarre name, too. Yeah, he call, his name is Ravi Jakotia, but he calls himself DJ Ravi Drums. That was that his he was his biggest gig was playing for Trump. He actually performed at the 2009 Oscars because Slumdog Millionaire had two nominated songs.
Mm.
That's how you know, creatively bankrupt Hollywood is. Let's get this guy. He's Indian, right? So let's put him on Slumdog Millionaire. But, you know, he'll always be known, now he'll always be known for doing Wii Music and being at the Make America Great Welcome Celebration concert at the Wii Memorial.
What a legacy.
He was actually Hugh Hefner's personal DJ. So, who's that? But he has to balance it out because he also had a small role in The Matrix Reloaded.
Yeah.
Oh, DJ Ravi Drums. He's just... He's only 2 years older than me. Just weird life. I want to see who has a weirder life, him or me. Anyway, look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with the news and our gaming history articles. If you enjoy your feedback, so leave us comments at our blog at GamingPodcast.net. Also, to set up at Facebook.com/GamingPodcast. Search us on iTunes, leave us on iTunes comments. I know you wanted to say something, DJ. What was it?
I'm going to buy that ring. I'm going to buy that ring, and I'm gonna play all the way through it.
It comes with a leg strap, too. Don't forget.
I'm going to invite all my friends over. We're all going to make crazy faces. Nobody's going to be held against their will.
You know what? let me know so I can come with my camcorder, and I can post it up to YouTube.
We'll make a Nintendo Switch commercial. We'll make a Nintendo Switch commercial.
But here's the thing. Make sure that you're all completely drunk and the beer cans are in the foreground. You know what? That reminds me of the funniest thing ever in Star Wars. And that is Kinect Star Wars, when you had Darth Vader and Palpatine dancing.
Yes. The Let's Dance Star Wars.
That will... When Emperor Palpatine comes on and says, "Let me show you how to really dance. You may be stronger in the Force, but I'm stronger in getting the groove on." I mean, just watch that. See, Star Wars was made for that. Everything in Star Wars was leading up to that. Forget Rise of the Skywalker. No, it'll never peak beyond Star Wars Kinect and having Palpatine dancing. Or having Han Solo dancing to "I'm Solo." And of course, you know, Lando has to dismiss Han Solo, say, "Watch how a real man dances." Does Yoda dance in Kinect Star Wars? I'm trying to remember. I know that R2 dances. You don't actually get to dance as him. He just wheels around in the cutscenes. For those of you who want hilarity, just Google Star Wars Kinect Palpatine dancing. And you will not be able to stop laughing. I was with the marketing manager for LucasArts. And he could not stop laughing. He'd never seen it before, and it was just that hilarious. Anyways, we will see you next week.
Happy gaming, everyone.
We didn't do Twitter handles.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm at Jonah Falcon.
I'm at Johnny Chugs.
I'm at Alpha Shard.
We will see you next week. You can say it now, Scott. Scott? Well, Scott's gone. How about you, TJ?
Have fun, be cool, play games, y'all.